Blog.com.
Standard of Paranormal Radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
This portion of the Paracast is brought to you by Audible.com, the Internet's leading provider of audiobooks, with more than 75,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature, including fiction, nonfiction, and periodicals. For a free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/Paracast. Our co-host this week, Chris O'Brien. Chris, you have any audiobooks out yet?
You know, I don't, Gene. People have asked me about that. And as soon as I get a block of time, I think I'm going to go ahead and start doing audiobooks and being the actual reader of them when we record them.
You know, many, many years ago, I actually did audiobooks before there was such a thing as an audiobook. I did a voice narration for a series of educational textbooks. This is back so many years ago. You know, many of our listeners weren't born by then. And I don't know whatever happened to the company. I think they sort of went out of business. They were there before their time.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like garage radio. You know, until we got on the GCN network, I guess I can call my radio shows garage radio. The Tech Night Owl Live and, of course, the Paracast. We were doing it online, not from my garage, but one of our listeners who was really critical of us said, you know, you sound like you're doing this in the bathroom. Now, I have to tell you, I am not in a bathroom. I know Chris is not in the bathroom, or am I wrong?
No. I'm not in the bathroom.
I know we've had a few guests who should have been in the bathroom and not come out to do the show.
But we won't go there, Gene.
Oh, no. Not with a 10-foot pole. Anyway, on our relaunch of the Paracast last week, I got to talking about government intervention in UFO and paranormal studies. Of course, we think of, you know, maybe some of the people in the UFO field are government agents. But more direct, some of the things that you've explored, such as in the San Luis Valley, do you think that maybe they represent some kind of government intervention? I'm talking about things like cattle mutilation, stuff like that.
Well, it's a very complicated scenario, I think, in general, and specifically in the San Luis Valley. It's it's a whole melting pot and potpourri of different divergent things going on. I have always had a sense, though, in all the years that I've investigated the area, that the government is very active there. I've had several reports, for instance, of what appears to be conventional military jets in dogfights or chasing after what appear to be anomalous, non-ballistic objects, including one really strange report, where an ambulance driver and assistant stopped their ambulance and pulled over and saw an F-16, I believe, whatever the Air National Guard plane is, the F-15, swoop down, and actually it appeared to fire on this object. And they, in the report, they said that they heard ricochets from their vantage point. Now, I'm not sure what to make of a report like that. The witnesses are, I think, very believable, but it just gives you an indication that there is some sort of interaction going on between the phenomenon and the government, the military in the San Luis Valley. And this is just tip of the iceberg. You know, we've had tons of convoys reported during sighting waves, military aircraft, and most specifically, helicopters have been seen in and around mutilation sites, and the list goes on. So I think we can't factor by any stretch the military out of this or the government out of this equation.
Right, but does that also convey the possibility that maybe the government is involved in a more direct fashion, such as staging these events, or some of them at least?
I think so. I think that it does actually stoop to that level. I related on the previous episode of seeing three C-131 transport planes, wingtip to wingtip, with a series of lights that made it look like it was a single object. So I think there is a lot of sleight of hand, psyops-type experimentation, psychotronic weapons platforms that are either, I think, conventional arrays or non-conventional arrays that they're testing to see how people respond to them, see how effective they are as a psychological weapon.
And I wonder, maybe some of the early UFO abductions may have actually been caused by some sort of government intervention, psyops, whatever, because unfortunately some elements of our government have been known to experiment with normal people and do strange things. Psychological damage can certainly be one of them, maybe feeding them drugs, feeding them post-hypnotic suggestions. You get the picture.
Absolutely, and we do know from what has been revealed over the years about particular MK Ultra programs like Project Artichoke and others, that the government has been very interested in getting involved with unsuspecting victims, if you will, and utilizing them for whatever nefarious purposes that they have.
Yes, you know, and we have to wonder what's going on here, but does that also indicate that a fair portion of what's been going on in the UFO field, you know what, this is still could have been a representation of the government playing tricks. I mean, if you remember that book that Greg Bishop wrote with regard to what happened to Paul Benowitz, where he was the victim of some kind of government shenanigans and pretty well drove him crazy.
Yeah, and that's, I think that is the most glaring and probably best documented case that we have of actual direct government involvement in disinformation, misinformation, to the point where, like you just said, they literally drove the man crazy. And obviously some people don't need much of a push to be driven crazy. I think Benowitz was a little tweaky to begin with. But knowing someone that grew up, went to school with his son, and knew the family fairly well, I doubt seriously, based on my own investigation of the Benowitz case, that Benowitz would have been ended up in a mental hospital and dying too soon if you know, the Air Force intelligence officers and other operatives had not got involved in his case and messed with his mind, played with his head. I mean, they'd literally go in and move his furniture around and stuff. And really, I mean, if somebody did that to me enough times, I guess I'd get kind of paranoid myself. But I think he was a little bit kind of fragile mentally, and there was some tick there that they were able to, I hate to use the word, but exploit.
So in a situation like that, they knew they had somebody who might be borderline. And because
exactly.
He was borderline, they were able to push him over the edge a little bit more.
Well, I don't think that it was their... My gut instinct on this was that was not their intent to drive the man crazy. I think that they just did too good of a job playing with his head. And unfortunately, he was driven to be committed.
Well, of course, the person who we might blame on this is Bill Moore, who was a UFO researcher, but also someone who admitted being involved in government disinformation. And you're kind of wondering, hey, you know what? I'd like to see what he's doing now. Maybe we should try to get him on the show and see. Speaking of people who we're going to have on the show, you brought your publisher with you.
I did. It's a real special treat. David is very, very busy. David Hatcher Childers is one of our, I feel, our real treasures in the realm of diffusionist archaeology.
Would you please define that? I mean, I'm looking at that word and my brain is spinning.
Okay.
Of course, some people think that my brain spins constantly whether I'm probing into the subject or not.
Well, you have a good gyroscope, so that's okay.
I'm on my new iPhone, but I don't have a new iPhone, folks, so don't, you know, anyway.
David is one of a handful of people that you could really literally call a real-life Indiana Jones. He spent almost 40 years traveling the world, investigating megalithic sites that can't be explained. And basically, if you want to define diffusionist archaeology, I think it's the whole idea that ancient civilizations did not spring up isolated from one another. Conventional archaeology pretty much says that these great civilizations around the world were not connected in any way, shape, or form. In other words, you know, the Incas did not know about the Africans, who didn't know about the Harappan culture, who didn't know about the, you know, the ancient Chinese.
We'll explore that in more detail with David Hatcher Childress coming up next on
The Paracast.
Here's a quick reminder, neighbors. Why don't you follow us on Twitter? You can follow The Paracast on Twitter. This way, go to twitter.com/TheParacast. That's twitter.com/TheParacast. Follow us. Maybe we'll follow you.
As you know, the PowerCast is brought to you by Audible.com, the Internet's leading provider of audiobooks. With more than 75,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature and featuring audio versions of many New York Times bestsellers, for listeners of the PowerCast, Audible.com is offering a free audiobook to give you a chance to try out their service. One book to consider, for example, is Above Top Secret, The Worldwide UFO Cover-Up by Timothy Good. Timothy Good, as you know, has been a guest on the PowerCast. Yet another book worth considering from Audible.com is Lies and Deception, UFOs and the Secret Agenda, from Timothy Good once again, and also from our old friend Nick Pope. As you know, Nick Pope has also been on the PowerCast. This is another book that you're definitely going to want to check out. For this book or another free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/powercast. That's audiblepodcast.com/powercast.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold for your IRA? That's right. Gold has been available to be placed in IRAs since 1986. Yet still, the financial industry refuses to recognize the value of real hard assets for your retirement. The truth be told, gold and silver has outperformed paper investments like stocks, bonds, and CDs, yet no word about IRAs. Perhaps the financial institutions want to maintain control of your assets by keeping you in paper. If you'd like to take a look at gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low return on your paper investments. Call 800-686-2237. Make sure that you secure your future. Call 800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
If you suffer from poor sleep,
you've got to try MyPillow.
Introducing the most revolutionary, most comfortable, and coolest pillow ever, MyPillow. Imagine your very own custom fit pillow. MyPillow is the only pillow of its kind on the market that uses a patented fill, custom made to your exact individual needs. MyPillow is 100% made in the USA and has a natural built-in cooling effect that keeps your cervical nerves cool, and that helps you get the best REM sleep possible. MyPillow helps alleviate snoring, migraine, sleep apnea, and other sleeping disorders. MyPillow is antimicrobial, non-allergenic, dust mite resistant, machine washable and dryable, comes in many sizes and will not go flat. And best of all, MyPillow comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. So what do you have to lose? Except poor sleep. Go to MyPillowShop.com, mention coupon code GCN and receive up to $40 off. That's MyPillowShop.com or call 952-442-6199. That's 952-442-6199. MyPillow, for the rest of your life.
What started as an idea to provide power for a small hunting cabin has grown into a passion for creating an alternative energy source that's both affordable and reliable. At Wind Blue Power, our goal is to provide you with the best selection of parts and accessories to power your own ideas. Whether you're building a wind generator from scratch or you prefer a complete bolt-together kit, we've got you covered with fast worldwide shipping and impeccable customer service. Visit us at windbluepower.com. Think green, go blue, at Wind Blue Power.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
10 years. Genesis. A decade of talk. Genesis. Great Genesis. Talk radio is here on the Genesis Communications Network.
This is the Paracast. You never know what's going to happen next.
Welcome back to the Paracast, and it's my distinct pleasure to have our special guest today, David Hatcher Childress, on the program. And before we get into technology of the gods and some of the really very riveting subject matter that we're going to be covering today, I've always wondered, David, how did you ever get involved? Where did your interest spring from to get you so involved as a major mover and shaker in diffusionist archaeology? What was your inspiration to get involved?
Well, that's a good question.
I was born in France, actually, although my parents are Americans, and lived the first 3 years of my life in France. My parents liked to travel. I really grew up in Colorado, actually. My parents really enjoyed going to unusual places. I remember as a kid just going down to Mexico City and climbing the pyramids there. We went to England and to Stonehenge. We went to Greece and Turkey. And a lot of that, plus just kind of being a pretty outdoorsy guy, I was quite the skier and camper, and later I got into technical mountain climbing and stuff like that. And I just really got interested in ancient history, traveled quite a bit with my family. And even, you know, just as a kid growing up in the 60s, watching Johnny Quest cartoons and later, you know, Kung Fu and shows like that, just got me really excited about traveling around the world, going to the Himalayas, paddling up, you know, remote tributaries of the Amazon River or something, looking for Atlantis. I've always had an interest in paranormal things, everything from UFOs and ESP to Bigfoot and other cryptozoology things. And in later in life, as I got more and more into that, I really started getting into ancient cultures, Nikola Tesla, Suppress Science, and even all the stuff about ancient Vimanas and airships and even the ancient aliens kind of thing with Eric von Däniken's Chariots of the Gods. That's a book that I read in high school, and I really devoured a lot of that kind of material. And then I was fortunate to actually begin traveling around the world in the mid-70s. I actually was going to the University of Montana, but I dropped out, and I became an English teacher in Taiwan. But I'd always wanted to go to the Himalayas, to Mount Everest, also to Tibet. And I was able to do that. And once I got going, I never stopped or looked back.
You know, I have a very backhanded question here, something that may surprise you because it has nothing to do necessarily with any of that. But are you familiar with an ancient astronaut researcher by the name of Yona Fortner?
No, I'm not.
Okay, well, Yona wrote under the name of Y.N. Ibn Aharon for Saucer News, Jim Moseley's magazine, back in the late 50s and early 60s, talking about extraterrestrialism as an historical doctrine. And so what was he talking about? Obviously, he was talking about ancient astronauts, the gods of the Bible being E.T. And that's, of course, way ahead of Eric von Däniken. Of course, other people who explored that were people like Desmond Leslie and Brinsley Laporte Trench. Did you ever read their writings?
Yes, I did. And, you know, another guy along those lines, too, was early writer along the subject was George Hunt Williamson.
Yes, of course, George Hunt Williamson was kind of controversial, wasn't he?
Well, and he was, but he was one of the early guys who went down to South America and looked for some of these lost cities of the Incas, looked at many of the giant megalithic walls and things down there that are often attributed to the Incas. But he early on, you know, and I agree with him that, yeah, these things are, you know, amazing walls that were built by, yeah, like extraterrestrials or some kind of Atlanteans with high technology. But he was writing about that in the, you know, mid-50s, a good 15 years or so before, say, Eric von Däniken.
Well, this is an important point to raise. When you look at these indications of advanced technology in ancient times, is it the fact that an advanced civilization developed here and then, for whatever reason, was lost because of a cataclysm, because of their own warfare or whatever, things that we fear might happen to our civilization, or was there an ET involvement, or perhaps both?
Well, right. And I guess I tend to go both, perhaps both type scenario. I'm a believer in ancient civilizations that were advanced, call them whatever you want, Atlantis or something, ancient Rama Empire, and that there were these cataclysms and things like that. But also I think that there, yeah, is this alien intervention kind of thing happening. I believe that the moon is some kind of artificial satellite around our planet that's older than Earth.
Oh, whoa. Okay, now we're getting into an interesting topic. Okay, so the moon is a satellite. It's a construction.
Right. One of my books, and I'm the author of over 20 books, was a book that came out in the 90s, and it still sells well today. We did a DVD on it, in fact, called Extraterrestrial Archaeology. And a lot of that book is really about mysteries of the moon, how strange the moon is, some of the weird things that NASA discovered about the moon, and much of that seems to be still suppressed today.
Yeah, and the Russians.
Yeah, right. I mean, there are obelisks on the moon. There are apparently pyramids and dome cities, other weird towers.
This gets us into Richard Hoagland territory. Okay, so we're in Richard Hoagland territory. We've opened that door, and actually we opened that door a couple of weeks ago when Walter Bosley was on the show. So let's enter that door. And now looking at obelisks and other evidence of advanced stuff going on the moon, why would you say it's not just evidence of ET or us, if we were more advanced than we are now, visiting the moon rather than it being a construction?
You know, I mean, that's a good question. And if there are structures on the moon, and even if the moon is occupied, you know, it's not necessarily by ETs. I've had people tell me that Atlanteans are on the moon, ancient humans. The whole idea behind that would be similar to the Atlanteans, the Lemurians at Mount Shasta kind of scenario. You have these ideas that these Vimanas from the ancient Atlantis and the Rama Empire are still being used by these, you know, even some of these guys could be very old, or they have these secret communities. They're in Tibet. They're in secret places in South America. They're in Mount Shasta. And all they have is ancient technology. It's thousands of years old, even tens of thousands of years old. They still have this ancient craft. The craft are thousands of years old. They fly them around. They have these secret bases. And, in theory, they're on the moon as well. So if you could actually get to some secret city on the moon or something, these people may be humans. And that goes back into the whole idea of, like, who we are. I mean,
okay,
maybe
we'll
we're
explore who we are on the next segment. Co-host Christopher O'Brien, our guest David Hatcher Childress, you're in the Paracast. Okay, neighbors, here's the problem. Face-to-face business meetings with clients and colleagues are always going to be important. But business travel is a hassle, and it's often a complete waste of money. Well, here's a solution for you. Do more, travel less with GoToMeeting. GoToMeeting is an award-winning online meeting service brought to you by Citrix. With just a click, host sales presentations, training sessions, or product demos right from your own desk. Avoid the hassle of traveling and still exceed your sales goals. Plus, GoToMeeting is just $49 a month for unlimited online meetings. Plus, voice over IP and phone conferencing is included. My listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 45 days. For this special offer, visit gotomeeting.com/podcast. Once again, GoToMeeting free for 45 days. Visit gotomeeting.com/podcast.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, CrossbreedHolsters.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Hi, this is Alex Jones. Did you know that the global elite are now storing non-hybrid seeds in secret storage vaults near the Arctic Circle? Did you know that in a real meltdown, non-hybrid seeds can become more valuable than silver or gold? It's true, seeds have outperformed even gold and silver before in this country, and it's possible that could even happen again. So our friends at Solutions from Science have put together the perfect mix of non-hybrid seeds. They call it a survival seed bank, and it can produce an endless supply of nutrient-dense food for you and your family. And here's the best part. These seeds have not been genetically modified in any way, and you actually get enough seeds to plant a full-acre crisis garden. So visit them today at SurvivalSeedBank.com. That's SurvivalSeedBank.com, or give them a call at 877-327-0365. That's 877-327-0365. Remember, in a real crisis, non-hybrid seeds are the ultimate barter item. This is Alex Jones for SurvivalSeedBank.com.
Question. What would you rather drink? Acidic water, which burns holes in your body and causes loss of bone mass? Or alkaline water, which promotes high energy and vibrant health? The answer is clear. And if you're drinking acidic water, you're helping cancer cells and bacteria to grow out of control. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals. Using Plasma pH Drops is the best way to alkalize your water and help you get rid of acid and regain your health and energy. Simply put 10 drops in the water you drink to raise the pH to a healthy alkaline level. Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. Disease organisms like bacteria, viruses, or cancer cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops now by going directly to AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or by calling 269-409-1776. Again, 269-409-1776.
Tired of searching for great talk radio?
There's a wide range of stuff on here.
We are the GCN Radio Network.
You're in the Paracast. You never know what's going to happen next.
I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in the Paracast. Co-host Christopher O'Brien. Our guest, David Hatcher Childress, an author and a publisher. And we're exploring not just ancient astronauts, but evidence that may exist today about advanced civilizations having been on the moon, and maybe the moon might be artificial. Okay, we've explored the moon. We've seen all this stuff. Where is the evidence it might be an artificial construct?
Well, according to NASA, a couple of unusual things happened during the Apollo missions. One is that the moon vibrated and rang like a bell when the ascent stage of a lunar module crashed onto the moon, and they had left some seismic material. So the moon was vibrating. There's a theory among some speculators that the moon is hollow and that it's been artificially put into an orbit around our planet. There's a couple of unusual things there. Our moon is unusually large for our planet, supposedly, and it's in a very peculiar orbit. We all know about how the dark side of the moon is never can be seen from the Earth, and that the moon has kind of this odd rotation that keeps the backside always away from the Earth. That's unusual too. No other moons in the solar system do that. But even stranger is the position of the moon around our planet, and how far away or how close it is to us. It's a little bit unusual that when our moon transits the disk of the sun and for a lunar eclipse, and you have to be in a certain place on the planet to actually see the full lunar eclipse, but if you are, what you see is basically a perfect eclipse of the sun by our moon. And as the disk of the moon transits the disk of the sun, the disk of the moon perfectly eclipses the sun. And it not more or not less covers the disk of the sun, just, you know, for like 3 or 4 minutes. But that is very strange.
Yeah, what are the odds?
Well, right. You see, if the moon was a little bit closer to the Earth, it would more than cover the disk of the sun. If it was just a little bit farther away from the Earth, it would less than eclipse the sun. But our moon is in such a position that it not more or not less, but perfectly eclipses the sun and covers the disk, and you can just see the corona of the sun from the during the eclipse. That the moon would be arbitrarily in an orbit like that, is the odds are like a zillion to one. So that tends to indicate to me and to other researchers that, yeah, the moon has been put in a very purposeful, special orbit around the Earth. In my mind, the Earth is like the eye in the sky. Oh, that Alan Parsons song, and the eye in the sky, I'm looking at you. If you're an alien race and you're looking for the perfect base to watch our planet, it would be the moon. I mean, it's right there. And with the kind of technology of spaceships and things that can move around our solar system and the universe, I mean, to come from the moon to the Earth, very easy. So here's the idea of that the moon is even artificial. And according to NASA early on, they maintained that their studies of the moon, that it was older than the Earth. So early theories of the moon, that it had come from the Pacific Ocean, that was a popular theory in the early 50s.
You mean it broke off from the Earth?
That it broke off, right, and that the moon, our moon and the Earth are like twin satellites, and the moon's part of the Earth. NASA basically said, that's wrong, and the moon's not part of our Earth. It's not even from our solar system at one point, they said. The moon, too, is full of rare metals, titanium and molybdenum and things like that. And, in fact, the kind of aerospace metals that are rare and valuable, the moon is very full of that. If, for some reason, you had a mining concession on the moon right now, you'd be rich. You'd be mining all these rare metals. And there's indication that there is mining activity on our moon. Now, it's interesting, too, that the idea of this missing planet, and I talk about this in extraterrestrial archaeology as well, how back in the early 1800s, actually, this German astronomer and mathematician name was Bode, and he came up with this mathematical law called Bode's Law, and it's like a logarithmic mathematical theorem that shows that as you go out from the sun, there would be a planet at certain distances as you go out from the sun, and that was called Bode's Law. And when he applied it to our solar system, it pretty much fit our solar system, and where he said there should be a planet, there was a planet, except in one case, and that was that in Bode's Law, there should be a planet between Mars and Jupiter. But what's there instead is the asteroid belt, and you have all these rocks in space. So there's another theory, too, where you have this missing planet, and there's speculation that this planet's been given different names, was somehow blew up. Either it accidentally blew up, or the people on that planet blew up their own planet and destroyed it and left basically a bunch of rocks in space, these asteroids. Now, one way to create a hollow moon, as we're talking about, and then, I mean, it's a good way to imagine this thing is like the Star Wars movies and the Death Star being built in the early films. I mean, it's kind of what the moon is here, like artificial construction. Now, how might you make something like that? I speculate in my book that if you need some super technology, of course, but if you went out to the asteroid belt or something like that, took as big an asteroid as you can, and then basically with your, you know, super science and you know, beam weapons or something, you melt that asteroid like a glass blower takes a blob of molten glass, and then you inflate it, and just like a glass blower blows a big glass ball, you could inflate some giant asteroid, and like a glass blower's blowing a glass ball, you could create what essentially would be a round, melted sort of moon, similar to what we have, and the inside would be hollow. It would be like this giant spaceship it could then, in theory, be hauled off to a planet, Mars or Earth or something, put into orbit around it, and in fact, some kind of a space base could be built inside of this artificial moon that you've created.
Okay, this raises so many fascinating possibilities, I can't even begin to start. How do we go about proving this? Do we have to get man to go back to the moon and do a little digging, as it were?
Well, I would say so, and I mean, that would be ideal. I'm always thrilled when I hear about any efforts to go back to the moon, whether it's from India or the Europeans or China or Japan, the United States. I pay a lot of attention to that, and it makes you wonder, too, I certainly do, why America hasn't returned to the moon. What's up with our own space program this way? I'm honestly a little bit suspicious of our space program, what NASA says they're doing, and it seems strange to me that we're not making this effort to go back to the moon. And in theory, you almost wonder, in a way, whether we've been warned not to go back there, or even a flip side of that would be that we are already going back to the moon, but we keep it a secret.
This was one of the things, of course, that we were talking about in some other episodes, the possibility of whether or not we have a secret space program and that we're already on the moon and maybe planning to get to Mars, but it's all being covered up with black projects. We'll get more with David Hatcher Childress in a moment. A reminder, folks, if you go to theparacast.com, you not only get a chance to check out our website, but you can download over 200 past episodes of the show. Our co-host this week is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in the Paracast. Hey, neighbors, have you been thinking about starting a website? Well, I'm going to tell you about a great offer from HostGator. HostGator is a world-famous leader in web hosting, and they make it easy for you to get your own .com domain name. You create your very own website with their free site builder tools and great selection of templates. Use the coupon code PARACAST. Once again, use the coupon code PARACAST and sign up at this special address, theparacast.com/gator. That's G-A-T-O-R, theparacast.com/gator. Fate Magazine provides true reports of the strange and unknown. Keep up with the latest on angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, life after death, and much, much more. To receive your free issue of Fate Magazine, call now at 1-800-728-2730 or visit their website at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
9 years, thousands of clients worldwide, amazing results. And here's more proof of the effectiveness of how Heart and Body Extract supports good circulation and healthy arterial flow.
My name is Crystal. I'm a 45-year-old and live in Houston, Texas. I was diagnosed with having mitral valve prolapse 10 years ago. My cardiologist said surgery and drugs was the only thing he could offer me.
What did Crystal do?
I ordered Heart and Body Extract in August 2006. When I first took my first 15 drops, I embraced the formula and could even feel the goodness of the formula starting to work.
Clean, clear arteries are happy arteries after using Heart and Body Extract. Learn more at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. HB Extract comes with a 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
Where have all the military surplus stores gone? Don't worry, you don't need one. Because everything you need at Military Surplus is at MainMilitary.com. That's M-A-I-N-E, Military.com. One of the last surviving true military surplus stores in the country. Go online now to MainMilitary.com and discover a source for hard-to-find surplus items at true surplus prices. Surplus gun cleaning kits as low as $2.99. Complete chemical suits as low as $11.99. See our huge selection of gas masks, filters, and accessories. Finish Russian M10 gas masks are 3 for $30. And Swiss filters are 3 for $12. Searching for Strike Anywhere matches? MaineMilitary.com has them. Plus a whole new product line of survival and first aid kits and lots more. Get free shipping on orders over $50 only at MaineMilitary.com. That's M-A-I-N-E Military.com. Or call 877-608-0179. 877-608-0179. MaineMilitary.com. The Maine name in military supply.
When you hear the words water purification, what comes to mind? If it's Berkey Water Purification Systems, this message is for you. Did you know that over 60% of municipal water contains fluoride at less than 2 cents per gallon? Berkey water filters purify treated and untreated water, remove dangerous chlorine, fluoride, and contaminants from municipal water. These filters are powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water, making them perfect for rainwater collection systems. From the smallest to the largest systems, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has what you need. With your system purchase, you'll receive a shower filter, a fluoride filter, or 2 sport Berkey bottles absolutely free. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com would like to offer GCN listeners 5% off all ceramic filter systems and ship all orders over $50 free of charge. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY today.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
We want to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our forums where you can talk to fellow listeners. Just go to theparacast.com and click on the forum links. That's the forum links at theparacast.com.
The co-host, Chris O'Brien. The guest, David Hatcher Childress. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in the Paracast. We're looking into something about modern and ancient technology, whether the moon might be artificial, how do we prove it. So let's talk about, for a moment, a secret space program. This has been speculated. We know, of course, that spy satellites are being launched. This is a lot more complicated. So, David, how can we possibly prove whether or not there's a secret space program? And is it possible that the secret space program is supplanting the real space program, or the one that the public is acquainted with?
Well, as far as I know, there is a genuine alternate space program, and that is one run by the military. And the military does have a parallel space program to NASA. They have their own launching site. They have their own rockets, supposedly, to launch things. Those launches are not ever covered by the news. You don't see them. The military doesn't announce them. They put stuff up in space. They put up satellites, and we're never told, and it's a military secret. So something like that, it has been acknowledged by the government. And the big always question is, with all these things, is, well, how expensive is it, and what are they really doing? The interesting thing along these lines, Gene and Chris, is that I spend quite a bit of time in London every year, and even this last few months I was living there, and I'm reading the papers, and there's a guy, and he's quite famous in the UK. He's a young man, and he has Asperger's syndrome, and he is this famous character who hacked into the Pentagon computers 3 or 4 years ago. And
this is Gary McKinnon.
Gary McKinnon, exactly.
Right, okay. Now, this was strange. Before you go into all the ramifications of what he did, which is very important, what I wondered about is why would they want to not just extradite him here, but basically stick him in jail for years and years and years as if he murdered somebody? So let's go to the background.
Right. I mean, the Gary McKinnon case is really interesting, and it gets a small amount of attention here in the U.S., but in the U.K., he's major news, and just reading Times of London every day, which I do when I'm there, this guy pops up in their papers and stuff. And what he did was he's kind of like a semi-autistic genius, and he lives with his mother He's a super computer hacker. He has Asperger's syndrome, and an employee of mine had that too. And people like that are often socio-inept. But they can be very brilliant about in certain things.
I should point out to our listeners, by the way, on a TV show called Boston Legal, there was a character, and
right.
He reportedly had Asperger's syndrome. It was played by a character actor named Christian Clemenson, and it was really wacky. I mean, this person was so socially inept, he did all sorts of crazy, wild things. I assume that's exaggerated from what it's really like.
Well, and I've been around people with Asperger's syndrome, and one of the characteristics of them is that they're kind of like a kid. They tell everything like it is. And that's part of their social problems. They can't be quiet or sort of tell a lie or something. And they also don't read facial expressions and other social clues. They can't get that. So if you're a normal person could just see by the reactions around them that what they're talking about was making people mad or angry and they should shut up. But someone with Asperger's syndrome won't get that. I mean, they can't understand any sort of facial clues and social clues. They're actually missing a gene or so in their DNA. What he did was, though, that he hacked into the Pentagon computers, and he was a UFO researcher, really. And he said later that the reason that he hacked into the Pentagon computers was he wanted to find UFO information and what the Pentagon might be keeping secret about UFOs. And what he said that he discovered was a list of over 100 naval officers who were listed as being off-planet. And this list of officers that he was able to get indicated to him that somehow the Navy had some special project that was either a space station, like a secret space station in orbit around our planet, where all these naval officers were living off the planet, or somehow that these 100 naval officers or something were not on a space station around our planet, but we're actually, you know, on some other planet, like on the moon or on Mars or something.
Now, do we assume here this person is at least trying to tell the truth that he's not a whack job in all respects? You did say, of course, that someone with Asperger's syndrome tends to be more honest, only maybe even painfully honest about things.
Well, that's kind of it with them. They're painfully honest and like a little kid. And when some little kid just suddenly looks at you and says, "Boy, you're fat," or something, you know, where a socially adept adult would know not to say that. But somebody with Asperger's do. They're brutally honest. The British government has used his syndrome as an excuse for not extraditing him, and this has caused something of a minor rift between the United States and Britain, and it's been going on for years, where the Pentagon is demanding that this guy, Gary McKinnon, be, you know, yanked out of his mom's house, taken away from his computer, sent to Washington, D.C., where he can stand, you know, trial for hacking into the Pentagon's computers. And then they'll, of course, send him off to prison, you know, some maximum security prison in Colorado or something.
He's a tourist.
Yeah. But the British government's main excuse, and this comes up in the British papers, this guy's famous. They say, no, we're not going to extradite Gary McKinnon to the United States because if he went to prison and because of his Asperger's syndrome and whatnot, you know, it'll kill him. And they use that excuse. And the British government has so far, right up to, you know, today, they have refused to extradite Gary McKinnon to the United States. The one thing he's had to say that he discovered after hacking into the Pentagon's computer was that they've got some contingent of officers, and they're not on this planet. So you have to ask yourself, I mean, if you want to entertain this, even briefly, you know, as reality, and something that's genuinely in the Pentagon's computers, where are these guys? So they're either in some space station, or they are on the moon, or they're on Mars. And if that's the case, then it would mean that, yes, the U.S. government has a secret, you know, military base on the moon. That means that they have some shuttle service that goes from the Earth to the moon, takes these officers there, leaves them there for a while, and then comes back.
The thing I have to ask also, David, is that if you launch a spaceship that's capable of sending people to the moon or Mars, we'd have evidence of those launches. Independent people would see the takeoffs. It wouldn't be just something that would indicate a spy satellite. It would have to be a pretty large craft. Where would it launch from?
Gene, well, right. I mean, that's a good point, but I think I've got your answer. You're right. It would have to be a large craft. And people, depending on where you launched it from, they would see it. One of the things with the United States, and Britain for that matter, they have bases all over the world, including remote islands in the Pacific and the Atlantic and the Indian Ocean. One island that could well be a base for launching things to the moon is the island called Diego Garcia, which is in the Indian Ocean. That island is it's basically a British military island, but it's also occupied by the Americans. That island is so remote. I mean, it's out there in the middle of the ocean between India and Madagascar, basically. Years ago, what few islanders actually lived in Diego Garcia were moved to Mauritius. So the British essentially depopulated the natives of that island, built a military base there. That military base does have a bomber squadron, we know, and when some of the early flights that bombed Iraq flew out of Diego Garcia. But my point is, if they were launching, say, rockets or some other craft from Diego Garcia and they were going to the moon, you know, nobody would see it except military personnel who were, you know, had a top secret. There just wouldn't be any other witnesses. And that's just one place. So even Guantanamo Bay or other areas like that, there's Johnston Island out in the Pacific, other islands like that. Yeah, they, in a sense, I mean, they could do almost anything there, and no one would be a witness who would say, you know, just a tourist or some civilian who could then, you know,
spill the beans, as it were. We'll spill more beans in a moment. Our guest is David Hatcher Childress. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in the PowerCast.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you own an Apple iPhone and love to listen to your favorite programs on GCN, I've got good news for you. I'm proud to announce that GCN has a brand new iPhone app available for our dedicated listeners at GCNLive.com. Listen to your favorite hard-hitting GCN programs live or on demand right on your iPhone. And the best part? The GCN iPhone app can be yours absolutely free. Download the iPhone app today by clicking on the banner at GCNLive.com. Again, that's GCNLive.com.
People grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it led back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.